Good morning. I'm David Warnock, and welcome to Baltimore's Future. We're very fortunate this morning to have two of my good friends, two well-respected thought leaders in Baltimore, Ron Owens, the president and CEO of First Step Health, who was the facilitator and the organizer of the Freddie Gray funeral and has been looking after all the pastors this week, and my friend Michael Phillips, the pastor of Kingdom Life Church. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
You know, the faith-based community response to Freddie Gray has been nothing but extraordinary, and particularly with respect to the collaboration among the faith-based community. Maybe you could talk a little bit about how everyone came together on this issue in the middle of a crisis. Ron, do you want to take that one?
Well, I think what you will say, and certainly Pastor Phillips will agree, it was an unusual collaborative. That collaborative was a nuance and a dynamic that has never happened before. Not since 68 have you seen a galvanized broad-based support, care and concern, for the custody of the city. There were two things that occurred. There were the immediate reactions that were centered around one issue, the organization of a funeral. And then there was the immediate response of the faith-based community Monday night when riots began. On Tuesday at the Empowerment Temple, they had a community symposium. But prior to that, they had a one-hour engagement where Pastor Phillips was, where I'm sure that he would say that there were preachers he hadn't seen in 20 years or since.
Absolutely, since I started.
Right, and so the key string, the thing that was the golden egg, that was the mantra that galvanized us, was a sense of responsibility, care, and custodialship, which I think has been a void in leadership, chasm, and an absent presence. But I think it unified us to the bigger picture, to the next step, that we say we have to step up and take custodialship of our city.
Michael, one of the things that you've done this week is you've been reaching out to students. When you talk to the youth in Baltimore, what do they say?
Absolutely. It was when we saw some of the images of our young people crying out, basically, because that's what we saw. It really pricked my heart to engage them and to say, we have not been listening to these young people. And it really made me, to use a biblical word, repent. Mm-hmm. You know, as much as we do, sometimes we just don't listen. And what I found most is that they have thoughts and concerns that are going on that they were able to articulate that they probably would have never said, probably would have never brought forth had this not happened. But many of them found a sense of hopelessness and a lack of purpose. They were expressing why am I in school? Nothing's going to happen. No justice is going to be served. They treat us like this all the time. And through that, just by listening, without having the answer at the moment, but by being there and hearing them out, it turned into a new dialogue of what can we do now? How can we be a part of the solution? And then we were able to reconnect hope to purpose and get them back and on a different playing field mentally to be able to see that, yes, this is a tragedy, but we can do something about it. And then all of them wanted to be a part of the process, part of the healing process for Baltimore.
Thank you for joining me for this first part of our interview. For more of this interview, visit www.warnockfoundation.org or wypr.org.